and welcome to a very special edition of A Nice Cup of History. We've talked to you about history, we've helped you get to know some places, people and events, but we've realised we haven't really helped you get to know us.
No, and now we have actually found out this week that we are completely global.
Woo!
We are officially been listened to on every continent and in most countries around the globe.
Yeah, this is crazy. So... Hi, everybody.
So we thought we'd do a bit of, we have to say, we've stolen it a little bit from our friends over at the Manic podcast. That's Manic with two N's.
Very important.
They did an origins, getting to know them at their year anniversary. And so I thought maybe we should kind of do an origins one so you can get to know the people behind A Cup of History.
Yeah. And if every so often you hear a clinking or something, we're in self-isolation. We're not self-isolating. We're just kind of...
Forced quarantine.
And we're having soup.
And luckily enough, Carrie was actually at mine when the forced staying home from work thing was introduced by Boris Johnson. So she stayed.
Yeah.
So we can record podcasts.
So you got your dream team together. So let's start with the basics, shall we? Em.
Yes.
What's your name and where are you from?
Well, my name's Emily. Oh, I was born Emily Rebecca Bush. Mm-hmm. I've now Emily Rebecca Prince because I got married.
Woodward.
And I grew up and was born in King's Lynn in Norfolk, which is where we are currently residing.
I am, was, and probably will be for the foreseeable future. Carrie Bernadette Cecilia Ellen Ingram Gettins. Yeah.
Yeah. Not only did she have to have a double-barreled surname, she also had to have two middle names, a Christian name, and then her actual born name.
Yeah. Let's not dwell on that. I am from Birmingham originally. Sometimes that does slip out. I can't help it. But I now, and for the past 6 years, have lived in Norfolk in King's Lynn.
Yes. When's your birthday, Carrie?
5th January. And I'm 31, as are you.
I am.
There's exactly a week and 20 minutes between us.
Yes. I'm the 29th of December, and then Carrie's the 5th of January, the other side.
Yep.
So what I thought we'd do, Carrie, is we've both got some questions for each other.
Mm-hmm.
So we can talk to them about individually, about us, and then at the end we can tell everybody how we met and things that we've done together.
Yeah, okay.
Cool. So you had the conversation starters. So
I did indeed.
Let's start this conversation. I have no idea what Carrie's chosen, and Carrie doesn't know what I've chosen, so...
Mine are pretty deep, so let's start with that one.
Start with, yep.
What's one thing that's happened to you that has made you a stronger person?
Wow.
I warned you.
Okay. I lived in Canada for about 7 months. Mm-hmm. When I was 24. I was going through a bit of a really bad patch. I'd just graduated university a year or so before. The government had cut any funding to do with my degree.
Yep, mine too.
Yeah. I was in a job where I was working as a social worker and I was basically getting beaten up by children on a daily basis. So I was in a bit of a rut. I also came out of a really bad relationship. Really bad, really messy.
Oh, damn.
Relationship. So I decided to take off and be an au pair in Canada. I didn't really think about it. I just said I was going to do it and book the tickets. I got on the plane and cried. I was like, what are you doing? Like, London was leaving me. And I was like, oh, Christ, I can't get off this now. And it was hard, but it was the best thing I ever did. And I definitely came home a different person.
Yeah. And you got some new family from it as well.
I did.
And hi to that family.
Because they listen in Chilliwack in British Columbia, Canada.
Right, next question. What's the one thing that's happened to you in your life that made you feel weak?
Oh, this is a good start. Hi, everyone.
Sorry, I'm just eating my soup.
Probably the messy relationship that we said about.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, I let somebody treat me in a bad way. But like they say in Perks of Being a Wallflower, we accept the love we think we deserve.
You have some issues there. Really badly. I love your girl, but wow, you do not esteem
yourself. I know how to pick them.
Nope, you do not. No offence, Ben. Obviously, Ben is the exception.
Yeah.
Right, next question. Where is the one place you feel most like yourself?
On stage.
That's strange, the fact that you feel most like yourself when you're being someone else.
Yep.
It's weird. But that's one for the therapist to unpack.
You make me sound like such...
just you wait, we've got to pop these questions around.
Yes, we do.
Where is your favourite place to escape to?
If we're talking about anywhere in the whole world, it'd be Disney World in Florida.
Yeah.
Completely. But if we're talking about somewhere literally you can just go, get in a car and leave, like that's close, nearby.
Yep.
There's a place in King's Lynn called Borsey, which is like a man-made quarry sand pits place. And, yeah, I'd go there, and because you've just got... It's like surrounded by acres and acres of forest and woodlands and man-made lakes and loads of sand that you can run up and down the hills. So, yeah.
It is a pretty awesome place, to be fair.
Borsey is my escape place in King's Lynn.
Okay. Who do you think has had the largest influence on the person you are today?
You.
Wow. I mean, that's both an honour and a lot of pressure.
No, you said to date. You might screw it all up now.
This is true. if you could change one, just one, if you could change one thing about yourself, what would it be?
Looks-wise or personality-wise?
Anything. Anything at all. It doesn't specify.
I would like to look better. I don't particularly like my appearance.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, I could turn around and say, rather than change that, maybe I could change how I feel about myself. So then that way, however I look, I would love.
That's deep.
There we go.
Okay. If you had, this is poignant, if you had one day left to live, what would you do first?
Oh, well, we're in the age of Corona, I could do this. One day left.
One day more.
I would wake up, I'd have the best cup of tea and bacon sandwich. Ever.
Mate, full-blown, full English.
Nah, breaking with massive, thick doorstop bread. That's what my nanny Anne used to make.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'd go and see my family.
Mm-hmm.
I'd make sure I see all my friends. I would ring the first person. If anyone came to mind, I would ring them. You know that sometimes you're like, oh, I'm going to ring that person later. Or haven't spoken to them in a while. Yeah. If they came into my head, I'd ring them. Because obviously they came to my head for a reason.
Okay.
Then I would probably just go to Borsey. And sit on, or maybe Hunstanton, on one of the cliffs.
Yeah.
Hunstanton is like a little coastal town, 20 minutes up from where we live. And I just sit there and watch the sunset.
Wow.
And just ride it out with a gin.
Nice.
Gin and tonic.
What decade do you feel you most belong in?
50s. The 50s. The best decade ever.
You just want the hair and the lipstick, don't you?
And the music. The rock and roll.
True. This is very true.
Cool.
Okay, who are you closest to in your family and why?
My little sister, Maddie. Purely for the fact that I do have another little sister and me and Mary are very close. But with Maddie, there's 10 years between us. So when she was born, she was like my own doll to play with.
Yeah.
And then my mum and dad did an extension and Maddie shared my bedroom with me for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we do have that closeness there because of that.
Who is the one person in the world that knows you best?
You.
What?
Or possibly Mr. Mandy Pants.
Mr. Mandy Pants.
He knows a lot about me. Mr. Mandy Pants is Liam, who is part of the Manic podcast.
He's with the man. Ends.
Very important. He's the Mandy of the man, Nick. He probably knows me. Not on the same amount of time and on your level.
Knows you in a different way, but on the same sort of... The same level, but in a different way.
Yeah, like, he knows everything that happened. You've lived with me through all the crap and stuff. Yeah.
Okay. What is your favourite quality about your best friend?
She is my biggest support. She bigs me up and makes me believe that I could literally do anything.
When you were younger, what did you think you were going to be when you grew up?
I wanted to be an actress.
Okay, that's pretty cool. I mean, you've recently done some acting, so... Congratulations.
Cheers, mate. I think we have to thank the other part of the Manic podcast for that.
That's Tobias Nichols. Hi, Tobias. Tobias, hi. I didn't nearly slip, I promise.
So, yeah, I wanted to be an actress from when I was probably about 5.
Cool.
I spent a lot of time on stage growing up.
Okay. If you could identify with one fictional character from a book, show or movie... Who would it be?
Anna from Frozen.
Yeah, I get that.
She's clumsy.
Yep.
Loves chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff in her face. Falls in love way too quickly. Her emotions are everywhere. And she lets people know them. Or she lets people know the outside. Yeah.
But is one of the most loyal, intelligent, loving, respectful, and fiercely, fiercely family-oriented people I've ever met.
Anna from Frozen.
I was talking about you, but Anna too.
Oh, thanks.
Do you easily... No, you don't. I can tell you the answer to this one. The answer is no. Do you easily accept compliments or do you hate compliments?
Nope. I don't accept them. I don't believe them. I don't hate getting them. No one hates getting them, but it doesn't mean I believe them.
Because you're like, yeah, I mean, thank you, because obviously you believe this, but...
Also, are they being sincere or are they taking the piss?
Yeah. And when you've been told negative stuff long enough, you think that they always are taking the piss.
Hmm.
And last question from me.
Okay.
Is your favourite attribute about yourself physical or non-physical?
Non-physical.
And what is it?
I'd like to think it's my ability to make people laugh.
You are very funny.
Thank you. In a good way. I mean, you're funny when you're on a roll and you're funny when you're drunk.
But you're also funny when you just walk into walls and you're just like, why is this happening to me? Why am I like this?
Because it happens often. Like, you know, when I have days of being clumsy, it will be like an entire day. Yeah. Two things will happen in the space of 5 minutes and we know that that's going to be my day. And there'll be spilt foods, there'll be pain, there'll be broken things, there'll be things that never needed to happen.
And genuinely, I do actually worry for your health in those moments because you could actually really hurt yourself.
Yeah.
You'll never hurt anyone else.
No.
But it would be you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so do you want me to ask you my questions and then we can then
swap over?
Swap over.
Okay, then. Go on then.
So mine are a little bit less deep. Maybe we should have started with them, but oh well.
Okay. Learning curve.
Okay, so what is your favourite colour?
I technically have two. My favourite
black.
Is...
Black!
No, actually. Black like my soul. No, I like blue. Not just any blue. The blue that's like the colour of a really clear ocean. Where it's like that turquoisey, bluey, green blue. Or red, just at the peak of a sunset.
So like a deep red.
Yeah, like a deep... Not quite a blood red, but a deep, vibrant red. Because it's just a very passionate primal colour. But also blue is just... It's just a... kind of colour.
So you have the passion, then you have the calm.
Yeah.
Nice. Ah, this is one, is my questions that matches with one of your questions.
All right, okay.
When you were younger, what did you want to be when you grew up?
A paleontologist. Genuinely, I saw Jurassic Park when I was a kid, and I fell in love with dinosaurs, and whilst all the other kids in the cinema at the time were like, oh my God, oh, it's terrifying. I was like, that is so cool. I love these things. And Dr. Malcolm is like my idol. And I begged my parents to learn more about these fantastic creatures that weren't alive anymore.
That once walked the earth.
Yeah. And Dad went out and got me this massive book about dinosaurs. And I memorised the book. I could reel off the Latin name of at least 100 dinosaurs by the age of 12.
You're a cool kid.
I wanted to be a paleontologist so bad. I just wanted to dig up stuff and like find dinosaurs. And I wanted Jurassic Park to be real.
Cool. No, it's nice. It's a good way to be.
Yeah.
What's your most favourite place that you've ever travelled?
Ooh. I love Edinburgh. Absolutely love Edinburgh. It's a beautiful, beautiful city. Lots and lots of history. Lots and lots of dark history. But the one place I fell in love with and actually pleasantly surprised me was Estonia. I went to Tallinn in Estonia. And I'm not sure what I was expecting, but it wasn't it, because it was just, it was so medieval and so cultured, and the people there are stunning. I mean, really. I thought they were attractive in Norway and Denmark, but damn. And it was lovely. The food was great. The market was great. There's a 24-hour flower shop there in case you mess up in the middle of the night. It's great.
Wow.
But honestly, it's an absolutely stunning, stunning, stunning city. And I do recommend, if anyone gets a chance, obviously after this whole thing blows over, go to Estonia and go to Tallinn and get yourself some amber. I mean, amber is beautiful.
Okay. If you could get on a plane tomorrow and go anywhere in the world, where would you go?
Rome. I want to see Rome because I've recently just finished a classics degree and I want to see what I've learned about. And more than anything, I want to touch it. I want to walk up to the Colosseum and just touch it. I like to touch things. And that's part of my problem in museums. It kills me that it's behind glass. I want to touch things. I'm very tactile. But
that's because things are like really super old in museums. If you touch them, they disintegrate.
I take the risk.
Well, they don't want to do that.
Well, no, they don't want to do that. But yeah, I'd love to see Trajan's Column. I'd love to see the ruins of Nero's Palace. I'd love to see the Colosseum, obviously. I'd love to see them all. And then just explore. Not see the touristy, like, massive touristy side. I know that's the touristy side. But not see, like, the major touristy side of Rome. I want to just go and see Rome. Be a part of it.
Nice.
Uh-oh.
This next question, I didn't read them.
Okay, hit me. Am I going to get sad?
Who are you closer to, your mum or dad?
Okay,
I don't mean to laugh, I'm so sorry.
Oh. There's going to be context in the answer.
Growing not up, really, it makes me sound like a really bad person.
You didn't know. Growing up, I was always closer to my dad. My mum and I used to fight like cat and dog, but I was always closer to my dad.
I think that's
and
a girl always, thing, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I was always daddy's girl. He died just over a year ago now, and...
I'm sorry, I didn't read the questions.
He had Alzheimer's, and basically he was gone for a long time before he was dead. But on the plus side, it's helped me get a lot closer to my mom. Yay. And now she is one of the strongest, most determined, most fucking stubborn, wonderful women I've ever met.
We have to put a disclaimer on swearing at the front of this episode now.
Yeah, we do. Sorry, Mom. But yeah, she's a role model I never realised that I had. So yeah, both for different reasons. It took losing one to realise I had one.
How many children do you want and why?
I always used to want six, but now
Kevin.
Hey, honey. Let's get to work. I used to want six, and now, to be honest with you, I'd be happy with just one. But I have always had in mind the name for a boy and a girl since I was young.
I think I know them.
Go on then.
Tristan.
Yep.
Erin.
Yep. I would not. Sorry, Kevin, I would not compromise on those names. But yeah, whatever comes, but that's a bad choice of words.
But, wow.
yeah, I'd like at least two.
Okay. What is your favourite meal, savoury or dessert?
My favourite meal would be starter of calamari and a jar of cockles.
That's good that you live by the coast now.
Yeah. Main of blue steak with peppercorn sauce, chips, tomato, and those massive mushrooms with a little bit of black pudding and oodles of mustard. And then a dessert of tiramisu and Jude's coffee ice cream.
I probably could have guessed then.
Yeah, I can literally eat there's reasons why I'm fat. I could eat a big tray of tiramisu.
Fat. Oh my god.
I trust me, you have not seen me devour a big tray of tiramisu. Honestly, it's like a pig in a trough. I'd just stick my face right in there.
Well, we've
I mean, I don't actually.
We have 3 weeks of we have 3 weeks of self-isolation quarantine. We'll have to make a tiramisu.
We're going to be fine by the end of it. We're either going to be fine or fat.
Well, we just did a workout.
This is Kill or Cure. Yeah, that workout was Kill or Cure.
Definitely.
Oh, I wanted
so, that. What is your go-to movie or TV series?
My go-to movie is Princess Bride.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely love that film. Go-to TV series... Ooh, Supernatural.
Yeah,
because it can always cheer me up.
Mm-hmm. What is your dream career?
Paleontologist. No, I'd love to be an actress. If I could be an actress in Jurassic Park, I'd die happy.
Okay.
But yeah, I'd love to be an actress, but also I would not mind being an archaeologist or museum curator.
Ah, cool. If you had to get another tattoo,
mm-hmm.
what would it be and why?
I actually had a dream about this the other day, that I really wanted this tattoo, and now since I've woken up, I really, really want it. I want a raven, wings closed, standing on a branch.
Oh.
And I possibly want it on my thigh. I mean, obviously I know that we were going to get a joint tattoo.
We are going to get a joint tattoo,
Which is the Coventry Phoenix, which we'll talk about later.
Yep.
I had this dream that I had this raven tattoo, and... I really, really want it because ravens, in Celtic and Norse mythology, they're symbols of magic and they're symbols of the god Odin, they're symbols of the Morrigan. They're sometimes bad omens, but on the whole, they're symbols of faith of the gods, of magic, of power. Mm-hmm. So I just think having a raven on me would just be a symbol that, you know what, the gods are with me, everything's going to be okay.
Nice.
Lame as that sounds.
No, that's really pretty. That's nice. I enjoy that.
Yeah.
If you had to pass on one of your attributes to your future children, what would it be?
Ooh, Hopefully my mind, because it's the one thing I actually like about myself, in that I am smart, but I also like to think I'm wise, in that I'm smart enough to know what not to say sometimes.
Yeah.
So I'd like to pass that on, the fact that, you know, you get that knowledge and you know what to do with it. That's what I'd like to pass on.
Cool. Do you believe in soulmates?
Yes. I believe in friendship and love soulmates.
Mm-hmm.
I have my friendship soulmate right next to me.
Aww. We've been really, really...
We've been softly. I mean, you've made me cry. Come on.
Well, that's because I accidentally brought up your dad, and I really didn't. We both said we were just going to pick questions and not really read them, and I didn't.
This is very true.
What are you most insecure about?
My weight. 100% my weight. I'm insecure about a lot of things, and even though I just said that my mind is one of my best attributes, I am also insecure about that, and we'll probably come back to that later. But, I'm insecure about my weight because I think I'm a lot bigger than I am, and I know I think I'm a lot bigger than I am. But I used to get bullied a lot for my weight, and I put on a lot of weight very, very quickly due to a disability that I've got. And it's taken so long to get it off that I constantly feel like I am huge and disgusting and ugly and ugh.
Not entirely sure people wanted to listen to a therapy session.
Sorry.
But yes.
Next question.
Okay. What would your perfect day look like?
My perfect day would be going out and doing something historical. Just like going to, it'd be a gorgeous sunny day. Not too hot, but not too cold. Going out and having a nice walk around some old house, like Oxborough Hall or something like that. And taking some videos and some silly photos and having like you and Ben and Kevin and that there with me and maybe some other friends and just wandering around. Nobody else there, just this house entirely to ourselves.
Oh, that would be good.
That'd be perfect. And we could touch stuff.
Okay.
And then just coming back and having a barbecue and some drinks and playing some games and just relaxing. Okay. That would be perfect. Simple pleasures.
Okay, so what is the happiest that you've ever felt?
The happiest I've ever felt, and it's going to sound really, really lame, but it's when we went to Disney.
All right.
And I'd never been to Disney before, and I was 25 the first time I went.
And if you say Disney and happiness, I'm with you there. I totally get it.
You were talking about the parade and how the parade makes you feel, and you're like, you're going to love it. And I was like, yeah, sure, whatever. And then we sat down, like, right on the edge of the path as the parade came past. And one of the Toy Story soldiers came up and high-fived me. And I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. I nearly cried.
No, I was probably crying, to be fair.
That is, it's probably not the happiest I've ever been. But it's probably the happiest I've ever been, I'm prepared to admit on.
Well, yeah. Wow, cool. Lastly,
mm-hmm.
What are you afraid that people see when they look at you?
A fat, dumpy, four-eyed freak.
Wow.
To be honest.
Wow, this podcast is not the fun, happy podcast I thought it would be. Getting to know us. Look
getting
at all of
to
our
know
issues.
You. Getting to know.
Wow. Okay. Right, so before we go into those questions, let's ask, because there's some questions, they're the ones we're going to ask each other again in a moment. Yeah. But Carrie, tell us a bit, like, where you went to primary school, high school, actually, just like, okay. Before we met.
Little Carrie. It was a very sweet little thing, with little blonde curls in her hair, and little, like, huge Deirdre Rashid from Coronation Street glasses, it was not cool. And her hair always up in pigtails. And I went to a place called the Rosary Primary School. I went to a nursery before then called the Rainbow, which was a lovely little nursery. And always smelled of Joe's Fluid. And then I went to the Rosary Primary School, where I met a lot of really good friends. But then we moved house at the end of year five. And we changed to a school called Corpus Christi, which is just down the road from where my mum now lives. And that we moved there in my year six, my brother's year three. And I was that upset about leaving the Rosary that I thought that if I tore up my acceptance letter into Corpus Christi, Mum and Dad would forget all about it and I wouldn't go. The mind of a child, right? Turns out that didn't work. But I actually
did it not?
No.
Wow.
I did end up going to Corpus Christi and I actually really enjoyed it there and I made some good friends. And some of them are still really, really good friends of mine as well. And a couple of them just live down the road from us. So, hi Dan Lane, if you're listening. You probably won't be, but just hi, because you're an awesome guy. A great beard. and then I went to Archbishop Hillsley, which was a Roman Catholic secondary school. It was a very big, like, Irish Catholic area where I grew up. And I went there and stayed there until sixth form. Met some fantastic people that I'm still really, really good friends with. A special shout out to Shani and Carly, who have been my friends now for 20 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
It makes me feel old.
Oh, you...
We have friends in our lives from that long ago.
Well, there's another friend, Tiber, who I met her at the Rosary, and we've been friends for, it's now 28 years.
Yeah. It's crazy, isn't it?
It's crazy. But they're still my friends and I love them very, very, very much. And then from sixth form, I went to Coventry University.
Where
I studied music. And happened to be in a building called the Ellen Terry Building, which was right next door to a certain other building.
It was right next to the Richard Crossman Building.
So, Em, what about you?
Okay. Little Emily was an only child for the first 5 years of her life. She went to a Montessori nursery. You didn't just see Carrie dribble, everybody.
I'm just dribbling.
She then went to Roseby Avenue First School.
Nice.
Yep. Where she met some of the best friends that she still have. I met Hannah, and our friendship transcended across the globe when she was moving all over America and Italy, and now she's back and we're still really, really good friends.
Hi, Hannah.
Yep. My friend Emma, mm-hmm. who lived literally two doors up from me as well, and my friend Kelly. So we were, I'm still friends with them. And then we went to, that was from year's reception to year three. Mm-hmm. Then I went to something called Gaywood Junior, Joint Gaywood Junior School, for my last 3 years. And I was cool. I was like one of the popular kids in this school. No, honestly.
Sorry,
like,
I'm not laughing at being popular. I'm laughing at that I was cool. As if that was a distant memory.
No, yeah. I was cool. Like, people, we used to walk around the square and the boys would be playing football and everyone would want to follow me and my friends because we were really cool. We were the ones they wanted to be friends with.
I've never been cool.
Massive shock to the system when I went to high school. Jesus. I went to Springwood High School. Mm-hmm. The year I went there, it became a performing arts college, which was quite fun for me because then I got to do all the acting and all the drama and all the nice. Arts, which is really, really good. Because I was also a dancer during this time. I was actually a dancer for 18 years.
Mm-hmm. She's very good.
I went to...
No hint of sarcasm.
I went to somewhere called Bettina Lynn, which then became Footlights and then Theatre Dance School. I started ballet 18 months old. And then I also took up drama through RADA. Mm-hmm. Royal Academy of Dramatic Arts.
Yep.
Yeah. I also did tap, ballet... jazz, contemporary, modern, all of the ones you can imagine. And I got to perform all across London. I've done the Royal Albert Hall 3 times, Her Majesty's Theatre. I've had dance lessons at the Royal Opera House. I've done Sadler's Wells. Yeah, I did a lot when I was growing up.
So you haven't talked about my performances. I wasn't aware this was a performance CV.
I was going to let you. I was going to ask you yours afterwards. See, this is why I have insecurities. I talk about things that I'm good at and you just, to be fair, I just get shit on.
You are really, really good at those things and those are some awesome places to perform.
Yeah, but I'm just saying I got to do them while I was in high school and I was being bullied to hell. I was then not the cool kid anymore. I'd started from primary school thinking I'm this really cool kid. Everyone wanted to be my friend, to being at high school and nobody wanted to be my friend.
Which is sad, because those people really missed out.
Well, I had some good friends. I even did some, you know, I don't know about you, but obviously town living and growing up in towns is different to growing up in cities. We did have different types of upbringings. Mm. And I did lots of stupid stuff to try and make the popular kids like me. Like, I skived a couple of lessons. Mm-hmm. I stole my mum's cigarettes to give to the popular kids. Mm. I didn't smoke, but I opened my mum's freshly bought packet of cigarettes and took like 6 and thought she wouldn't notice. Yeah,
I guess she did.
Obviously. And so yeah, I did. And then I got to year 11 mm-hmm. and I just decided that I didn't care. So I started being more nerdy on me. I started telling people the sort of rock music, emo-y, punk rocky music that I was into. And then I got friends through that. Yeah. So then I wasn't cooler. I just had friends that thought I was.
Yeah.
So it's all like being part of something special makes you special.
Yeah.
Quoted Glee there.
Okay.
Only I could get Glee into this. But yeah, so I wasn't cool. But I had an army around me that had my back when people were horrible.
Yeah.
So then sixth form, I stayed at Springwood for 2 years at sixth form. And... all of the people I went to school with pretty much went to college. And I was on my own. And then I had all these new people join from different high schools around mm-hmm. King's Lynn that didn't do sixth forms. Because mm-hmm. not every school did. And they came to Springwood. And then they were literally... We became... There was like a core 10 of us. And we were like the strongest force to be reckoned with.
Cool.
And then I was the only one who went to uni, really. Shane went. He is super clever. So, yeah, there's not that many of us that actually went to uni. But I went to Coventry University.
Really?
Yeah. Where I did forensic science and investigative studies in the room and into the building next to you.
Yep. And there was a whole year. Like, well, yeah, it was a year before, because we didn't join MTS till the second year.
No.
Where we didn't realise, we didn't know that the other one existed.
No, so, you said about that you really were into paleontology.
Yeah.
Why did you do music?
I started learning to play the piano when I was about 5 years old. And I used to sing in local choirs. And I found out that I was a good singer.
Mm-hmm. Very good singer. You're a very good singer.
Thank you. And I had a talent for music, and I loved music, and I felt relaxed. I felt... It's like you said that on stage is where you feel yourself.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm playing music, when I can express myself, that's how I feel myself. Because even though I'm good with words, I can't always express what I'm feeling properly. Mm. So through music, I can do that. I can pick the perfect song that sums how I feel, or I can play something that tells you how I feel. And I found a Salvation of Music, and I started off with a teacher in school, his name was James, and then I moved to a private teacher, Richard Evans, who was and is fantastic. He's an absolutely lovely guy, and I spent about 20 years under Richard, and he really, really, he nurtured my talent, and he brought it out, and he brought out the best in me with piano music. And he helped me to read music, to understand it, to appreciate it. He also introduced me to some of my favourite composers. I also joined a brass band through school, the Birmingham School's Brass Band. And we played at Symphony Hall in Birmingham, the Adrian Bolt Hall, the Royal Northern College of Music. We also went on a European tour and played in Germany, Belgium, Holland and Luxembourg. And it was so hot in Holland one day that our solo cornet passed out. And the inside of my MP3 player melted.
Wow.
That was crazy. But I made some fantastic friends from that as well. And then I was going to go to Nottingham University to do archaeology and ancient history.
Which is pretty much what I would have assumed you would have done.
Yeah. But I really, really... I left the brass band in just a couple of weeks before university. Well, before we were supposed to have started. And I really, really didn't want to give up music. I panicked at the thought of not being able to do music, and it made me feel sick. So I got in contact, I put myself into clearing, got in contact with Coventry University, got an audition 3 days later and was offered a place on the spot on that day. And that's why I went and did it. Now, I don't regret doing the degree at all. Don't regret it one little bit. But I probably, if I had my time again, I probably would have done archaeology and ancient history.
But you wouldn't have met me.
No, I wouldn't. I would have found another way to meet you.
And we wouldn't be sitting in the middle of King's Lynn, 3 hours from your house, doing a podcast to the globe.
This is true. But I would have found a way to meet you anyway. Like,
yeah.
It's destiny, isn't it?
So, as we said before, we had a whole year at university where we didn't meet. We would have walked past each other because our buildings were connected.
You probably saw me drunkenly hugging a tree one night outside the ATM.
I mean, if you were drunk, I would have been, so I very much doubt I would have seen anything.
True fact.
Yeah. And then second year, we both decided we wanted to go outside of our comfort zone mm-hmm. and join a society. The Musical Theatre Society. Shock horror. And you remember our first meeting a little bit clearer than I do.
I do, yeah. There was some sort of, I don't know if it was an audition or like a range test that we were doing. And we're all sitting in my building, the Ellen Terry building.
Oh, that, just caveat to that, that was the day where I felt the most like I shouldn't be in the MTS. Because we kind of sat in circles, I had to say our name and what course we were on. Everyone was like, hi, I'm Memma, I do drama. Hi, I'm Memma, I do music. Hi, I'm Memma, I do dance. Hi, I'm Emily, I do forensic science. And everyone was like, what are you doing here? And that was what I was just like, oh.
So I was the only actual music student there from my year. Everyone else was like drama or theatre or things like that. And yeah. I was sitting there and I was really, really nervous because I don't like big groups and I don't like being on my own. I start to panic. And I was just sitting there and I was listening to everything around me. And I just heard this little voice pipe up and I heard some words that I recognised. And I realised that this person was talking about the TV show Supernatural. And I'd not long started to watch it. It had not long started. And I thought, oh, that's really cool. Like, there's someone else that knows it. And I couldn't find anyone else, apart from my mate Alan at the time, that watched Supernatural. So I was like, oh, I've got to talk to this person. It's not like me at all to randomly go up to a stranger and talk to them. But I just turned around and went, excuse me, sorry, are you talking about Supernatural? And you said, yes.
I did.
I was
how we met. And you were like, oh my god, you watch it too? And I was like, yes.
And we just had this big old chat about Supernatural and the TV show, what we loved. I'm a Sam girl.
I'm a Dean girl.
Which is why in each other's sub phones, we're Sammy and Dean. That's what we call each other.
Which is confusing for anyone else who picks up our
especially
phones.
When they're like people who don't know who Carrie is in my phone. They're like, why are you messaging Dean constantly? I'm like, that's Carrie.
It's like, yo.
Yep.
But yeah, and we've been to conventions, we've met the cast.
We have.
Honestly, it's a massive... The fandom is not a fandom, it's a family.
Yes.
And everyone supports everyone else.
Yeah, and it's a massive deal to us, because without it, we wouldn't probably have been that close, because we talked about it. That's why.
Yeah.
So then we had that whole year where we were just like friends, and you came and stayed... Because Carrie lived... She commuted to uni for the first 2 years, and I lived in halls, because obviously I lived further away.
Yeah.
You came to my halls residence, and we went out drinking together. Then I had that messy breakup, which has been discussed a few times. And so we needed someone else to move in. So I just randomly, completely out of the blue, thought, you know what? I like Carrie. I could live with her. Let's see what if she ever felt like moving out. I 100% expected you to say no.
Well, I had...
I just texted her one day and was like, Carrie, have you ever thought about moving out? We have a spare room in our house that we need... completely expecting you to say no.
Well, my plan had always been commute for the first 2 years, live away for the last year, because I wanted to get some experience of living away from home.
See, I didn't know that at the time when I asked you to move
in.
And
I was looking for places, and I was considering just going in as a third year in some halls, because some third years can do that. And then I got the message from you, and I was like, this is perfect. This is amazing. Yep. I mean, even though you had swine flu at first at the time.
I did have swine flu. I had the other pandemic.
But I really, really wanted to do it, and it was perfect. And even though there were some blips in that year, and your breakup was just, that screwed you over at first. I think because we got through those blips, that's one thing that started us off like getting stronger.
Yeah.
And then you had another blip with the same relationship.
Wow.
And then another blip.
No, it was over. There was only two blips.
There was the first blip was when I first moved in.
When we first broke up, and then we got back together, and then I broke up with him that next time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I had my own personal blip with not technically a relationship.
It was.
It was, but it wasn't. And
let's call a spade a spade here, Carrie.
And turns out he was gay, and I was not
denial,
blind.
Bobby. He was in denial.
I was
stupid. That's fine.
I loved him, but he also made me feel like absolute trash. He made me feel like the worst person. Not all of them. I mean, no. We got lucky.
No.
I've got lucky now.
Men suck. I mean, you haven't been together that long. He has time to suck.
This is true. This is very true. Please don't suck. So we
lived together for a year.
Yeah.
At uni in our final year. And then we kind of, uni ended. We graduated the day, you graduated the day before me.
Mm-hmm.
I was there at yours, you were there for mine. I then moved back to King's Lynn and you were in Birmingham.
Yeah. And we stayed in touch and we were still really, really close. And looking back at our original messages, it's like, oh, I love you, babe. Miss you, babe. Ew.
Yeah, right. Oh, happy birthday, sweetheart.
Yuck. And then things changed with my guy.
Yeah, and I moved to Canada.
Yeah.
So and I then, was, a, we would still FaceTime when I was in Canada, but I was in Canada.
Yeah. And then you came back, and then that was about the time that Dad got sick.
Yeah.
And I realised I was working way too much and spending not enough time for myself, and I was basically working to live. I was living to work.
Yeah.
And I was worried about everything that was going on. I was dealing with the fallout from that relationship. It was just too much. And I came to a holiday in Lynn. And you said
to stay for a week. And we went out to Wetherspoons, good old Spoons.
Yeah.
Had a couple of jugs of cocktail, two for 12 quid.
Mate. And then we sat on the quay whilst your dad was doing, because Em's dad is a plumber. And he was doing some plumbing in a house. And we just kind of sat there on the quay. And you went, you like it so much here. Why don't you move down here? And then later that December, I went back and I quit my job, gave myself a month to find another one.
Which we didn't tell my parents.
Yeah.
We told my parents that Carrie basically, you know, hadn't left her job. She'd just took a month's holiday to come down to Norfolk to find a job.
I mean, technically, I was told that when I went back, I didn't find anything, I could go straight back into it. So technically. But the day before I was due to move back, I got a job.
Yeah.
And then I went...
Oh my God, that was tense.
That was... And then I went from one job to another, because obviously things have happened.
One of the firms went bust. And, yeah, we lived together for, what, 4 years before I moved out?
Yeah. But yeah. you're still here.
Yeah. Can't get rid of me that easy.
Don't wanna.
No. And now it's just, it's more, messages are more like, you're right, dickhead.
Yep.
Not the, love you, babes.
I think I'd be really concerned if you actually call me babe. I know I call a lot of people bub.
Yeah.
It's my thing, bub, bubba, bubs.
Like, I'll call him Darren. And,
yeah,
like,
so I think you've accidentally called me bub before, and I'm like, what? Are you alright?
The times when I've actually called you Emily, because I call you Emily in front of other people so they know who I'm referring to, and you just look at me as if to say, what are you doing?
Yeah. Definitely.
Who is Emily?
Yep. So, yeah, that's how we met, and that's pretty much where we are at this moment in time, in life. I'm currently working in IT as an IT service person, so which is why I'm working from home, because I work in a college, so I have to keep all of the IT equipment for a load of teachers that are trying to teach a load of homeschooled kids.
And I am working as an income advisor for local social housing, so I'm just helping a lot, trying to help a lot of people who currently are out of work or are struggling financially, just to try and keep themselves and their properties and give them relevant advice.
Yeah, that's why we get to work together, which is quite fun. It's only day one. We've got at least another 20 days.
We haven't killed each other yet.
No, we have not. And it's been okay. Disney Plus came out today. Oh, that's made me so happy. Mandalorian after this.
That's so cool.
Actually, no, we've got to make a TikTok. Well, you have to make a TikTok because we keep talking about these boys. Liam is on TikTok. Find him as Mr. Mandy Pants. Also on, I'll give him a little plug, Mr. Mandy Pants on Twitter and Facebook and YouTube and TikTok.
This is me and my city life, Mr. Mandy Pants.
Do-do-do-do. yeah, he has set a challenge for us and Tobias and some of his other friends to do a lockdown challenge on TikTok every day. And he's going to give us a theme.
Okay.
Every day, and he's given Disney as the first one to coincide with Disney Plus, which coincidentally everyone has my Disney Plus. You, Liam, Tobias, my sisters, all have my Disney Plus.
You know what?
That's fine.
Thank you.
You are welcome. I do what I do. So we've got to do that, and then we're going to watch the first two episodes of The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
I'm very excited about. So that's pretty much it. But should we go back to these little questions and swap over now?
Yeah, go on then.
Cool. Who wants to go first?
Do you want me to go first?
Go on. Okay. I did the first 10 and then 5 of those.
We're not doing the raunchy ones.
No, I don't think anyone needs to hear about my lack of raunch.
That's so sad. Right, what's your favourite colour?
Purple.
When you were younger, what did you want to be when you grew up?
Actress. Were doing that one.
Yep. Okay. What's your most favourite place that you've travelled?
Disney World, Florida.
If you could get on a plane tomorrow and go anywhere, where would you go?
Disney World, Florida.
Are you closer with your mum or your dad, and why?
Oh, I don't know. I'm a daddy's girl, but...
But you talk to your mum,
I talk to my mum a lot. I haven't spoken to her today, actually, because we're all in quarantine.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd probably say both of them. I don't think I could pick which one I'm closest to.
Okay. How many children do you want, and why?
I would like 4.
Okay.
I've always wanted 4. I've wanted some twins. Mm-hmm. I want an older child, a set of twins, and a younger child.
Okay.
Twins were in my family, so that could happen.
Yeah, could do.
But yeah, I'd like at least one of each. I don't want like 2 girls or 2 boys. I would like, if I had 3 boys and a girl, or 3 girls and a boy.
Mm-hmm.
As long as, because I need to have a girl to dress up in Disney princess dresses, and I need to have a boy to dress up in Toy Story outfits. So.
Fair enough. All the other children, way around, you know, it's 2020.
Yeah, they can decide.
Yeah.
But while they are too young to decide, my child... Babies will be in Disney outfits.
Your babies could be in little Simba onesies.
That will happen. I mean, it will.
Okay, what's your favourite meal? Savoury and dessert?
Pasta.
Okay.
Anyway, spag bol, carbonara, chilli prawns.
Just pasta.
Just pasta. Mm-hmm. And pudding.
Pudding?
It used to be a cheesecake, but I think now like a really nice... indulgent cherry pie. Oh, really thick filling, lots
with a
of cherry,
dollop of ice cream.
Yeah, because I love the hot and the cold.
Yeah,
so yeah, I mean, right. Custard is nice, but wow.
Okay, what's your go-to movie or TV series?
My go-to TV series is probably Friends, because it's like we said earlier, it's the one I know the most. I can like quote it.
Mm-hmm.
But I also quite like Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Anything that make me laugh. Nine-Nine. Big Bang Theory, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Friends.
Okay.
Something makes me laugh. Supernatural, obviously, but obviously. It's coming to an end soon. But at least we got it for longer now. They've had to cancel, shut down for a bit.
This is true.
And movie, anything Disney.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Harry Potter, actually.
Yeah.
As much as I've mentioned Disney a lot, I'm a biggest Harry Potter nerd.
The biggest.
So probably The Lion King, followed by Deathly Hallows Part 1 and 2.
Okay. What is your dream career? I don't know why they've asked us this question again.
I've lost the questions.
Oh, sorry. I'll
find him. My dream career, actress.
Okay, and if you had to get another tattoo, what would it be and why?
Well, the next tattoo I'm definitely getting is going to be me and Carrie are going to get. We always said on our 30th birthdays we were going to get a tattoo together and go to Amsterdam. But then our 30th year for both of us was quite horrific. Like, Carrie lost her dad, I lost my nan and my best friend. So we didn't actually end up doing those things because, you know, death occurred.
Life got in the way.
Yeah, but we are still going to go to those. We are going to Amsterdam. And we are going to get those tattoos. We are going to get the Coventry Uni Phoenixes. We have to.
Yeah.
And, yeah. So that would be my tattoo.
Didn't you want yours with, like, ivy on it?
Yes.
On the wings?
I need something. I was going to go with flowers, but then my sister Mary has got, on her thigh, she has a floral tattoo. So I don't want to have the same as my sister.
Fair enough.
So, yeah. It's going to have something intertwining it.
Cool.
And I need to get a Harry Potter tattoo as well. I think I'm going to get the words, "I solemnly swear I'm up to no good."
Yeah.
Somewhere, but I don't know.
That would be cool. You can get it like, on your arm or something.
Yeah, I haven't quite decided yet. It will be on my list. It is on my list.
Okay. And what are you most insecure about?
How I look. Not just weight-wise, everything.
If you could pass on only one attribute to your children, what would it be?
My imagination.
Okay. You do have a good imagination, to be fair. Do you believe in soulmates?
I do. I think, like you can have a friendship soulmate and a love soulmate, but I don't think that you only have one.
So you think you have more than one soulmate in a lifetime?
I think you can do, yeah.
Okay. Last question, what are you afraid that people see when they look at you?
That they just see what I look like and judge me on that.
Okay, that's fair.
That's it. They don't get to know me, they don't know my personality.
Which is a big loss because you have an awesome personality.
I'm only as good as the people I surround myself with.
I mean, I'm all right. Okay, you'll go.
Cool, right. Are you ready? Thumb, please. So, what's one thing that's happened to you that has made you a stronger person?
Probably either meeting you or, and this is going to sound really sad, but my dad had a heart attack when he was 44. And it was just my dad, my brother and I, and we were on our way back from a holiday from Jersey. He was working and me and my brother went along as a holiday. And dad had a heart attack on the ferry on the way back. And I had to phone my mum and tell her that this was happening. And it was the second hardest phone call I've ever had to make. But it was in that moment that I made it. And I said, okay, right. And I organised with mum that she was going to come down to Peterborough. She was going to meet us and everything. And it was just in that moment I knew that I could be calm. I could be precise in a crisis. I could deliver the information I needed to, and I could look after my baby brother. I say baby brother, he's now 28 this year, and he's 6'2", and he would probably get me in a headlock and throw me on the floor just to show me love. But yeah, I knew I could look after him, and that moment made me realise I'm a stronger person than I thought.
Nice answer.
Thank you.
What's one thing that's happened to you in your life that made you feel weak?
Being with Sean, because I loved him so, so very much, and he abused that love. He was never physically violent or anything, but he always made me feel like a terrible person, and that I'd always disappointed him, and that I was fake and disloyal and false and just a really, really bad person. And I honestly believed him, and I'd curl up in my bedroom and cry sometimes because of how he made me feel. And that was the weakest I've ever felt. And just looking back, just allowing myself to be that manipulated by somebody. And now I just feel sorry for him. I pity him that he had to reduce somebody to that to cover his own insecurities. But yeah, now I realise that I was really, really weak then, and I never want to be that again.
Where is one place you feel most like yourself?
Around water. I really, really love swimming, and I love being in water, and I just feel like I can just relax and let everything go and not worry and just be me. Either that or
around when I'm in a library, because I can geek out and I can nerd out and everything's around me and that all that knowledge.
Where is your favourite place to escape to?
I've got two. If distance isn't a problem, then Edinburgh Castle on top of the gun battery, because you can look out and you can see the medieval town and the Victorian town, and you've just got life and history and everything all around you. Or Warwick Castle, because again, it's life and history, but it's just, it's somewhere
I can be me. The
coolest
place on earth.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome, to be fair.
I love Warwick Castle.
But it's somewhere, it's weird, I can also feel like myself there. I feel like I'm home at Warwick Castle.
Okay, who do you think had the biggest influence on the person you are today?
You. Because you make me want to be the better version of myself, but also you make me want to be just me and know that that's okay.
Wait, look at us. We're good friends.
Yep.
If you could change one thing about yourself, what would it be?
The way I look. I want to look on the outside the way I feel on the inside.
That is fit.
She's pretty badass, to be
honest. If you had one day left to live, what would you do first?
First thing I'd do is wake up and have a massive fry up, because at that point calories don't count. And I would also have beer with breakfast, because, you know, life. And then I'd probably actually go to Warwick Castle and touch everything.
You're a big toucher, Gary. That's what we've ascertained.
But I would meet you and my Birmingham friends and my mum and my brother and your family and Kevin and Joshua all in Warwick Castle and just have a massive day there and just see you all happy. All being happy.
I'd be happy in Warwick Castle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can't be sad in Warwick Castle.
No. It's not impossible. Possible. What decade do you feel that you belong the most in?
Either the 1980s or the 1480s. 1480s because end of the medieval period, that's pretty awesome. 1980s, heavy metal.
And but you were born in, so you're saying that you belong in the decade you were born.
Yeah, exactly. I belong now.
Okay. Who are you closest to in your family?
I don't know, because my family's never really been massively close. And as I said before, like, I was close to my dad, I was close to my mom, so I guess at the moment I'm close to my mom. But me and my brother, we've always had this thing where we will call each other names, we will really, you know, we'll be mean to each other. He shows me love by beating me up. To be fair, I hold my own, though. I am pretty strong. But at the same time, I'd burn the world for him. So I think probably, yeah, my mom and my brother in equal measure.
Cool. Who is the one person in this world that knows you the best?
You, without doubt.
Me. What is your favourite quality about your best friend?
Her heart.
Oh, that wasn't where I thought that was going.
I mean, you're intelligent, you're creative, you're really, really sweet, but you have this big heart and you have this capacity to love everybody else, even at your own detriment. And you're always trying to do the right thing, again, at your own detriment. And no matter how many times I tell you, put yourself first, actually listen to your goddamn self, do stuff for your goddamn self. You don't, because you love everybody else way, way, way too much. You're a bleeding heart for the world to see.
Aw, that was really lovely.
I'd stick a little plaster on you.
Aw.
You're welcome.
Thanks, bub. What is your favourite quality? Oh, no, we've done that one. When you were younger, what did you think you were going to be when you grew up?
Paleontologist.
Fair enough.
No, I genuinely thought I was going to be. I thought I was going to be like either a paleontologist or just a straight up archaeologist. I thought I was going to be knee deep in a pit with a trowel in the middle of the rain, just brushing some dirt off a bone. I mean, obviously, I know there's more to it than that. I have actually done archaeology. I have dug up a 3,000-year-old sheep skull, which is pretty cool. But yeah, I know there's more to it, but I would have done it.
Nice. If you could identify with one fictional character, who would it be?
Ooh. See, when I was younger, I thought it was going to be Hermione Granger, but now as I get older, I'm feeling more McGonagall. but no, to be honest with you, it's Belle. Because if any man gives me a library, I'm his. Stockholm Syndrome or not, just library.
Oh. Yes.
And I can actually walk and read. And it's something I've always been able to do, but I perfected it for your hen party when I actually dressed up as Belle. And we had to act as our characters at one bit, and I was genuinely walking down the street in Cambridge, reading as I went.
My sister was dressed as Anna and she was screaming in puddles that Olaf had melted. She ruined some children that day.
She ruined it worse when we were slightly drunk going back to the train station, and you just had Anna, you had Belle and Elsa propping up a very drunk Anna who's like, Olaf! Through the middle of the train station. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was fun. Do you accept compliments?
No. I appreciate them and I'm always grateful for them, but I don't believe them. Even when, like, you or Kevin or anyone compliments me, I'm like, thank you. I get that that's what you think, but no.
Cool. Is your...
What the hell was that?
That was a house party. The house party app on your phone, Carrie, not mine. Mine's on silent.
Social distancing app. It scared the crap out of us.
Okay. Try again. Is your favourite attribute about yourself physical or non-physical?
Non-physical. My favourite attribute is my mind. Either my intelligence, my wit, or my imagination, because I do have a very big imagination. And that's probably one of the few things I like about myself. Although my eyes are pretty cool.
That's it, bub.
Well, we did it. We survived.
We did. Hope you feel like you know us a little bit more now.
Hopefully.
We're not, I guess when we listen back, we're going to realise how tragic we sound. But we're not actually that tragic. We laugh a lot. But we have some of the best friends.
The bad stuff has, like, made us stronger.
Yeah.
In a cliche way, but not a cliche way too.
Yeah, and then, like, you got the whole, you got to have the rain for the rainbows.
Exactly.
It happens, and it sucks, but we've been here, and we will continue to be here. Carrie, will you put your phone on silent, please? How rude.
It is on silent. My phone is on silent.
Well, that doesn't sound... Does it sound very silent to you guys? Because it doesn't sound very silent to me.
I apologise.
Hmm.
I just have friends.
I do as well. I have got Snapchats and stuff.
Everything else came through silently. It was just when my mate James decided to go, hey!
So, yeah, we'll be bringing you Nice Cup of Hissed Tea again in another 2 weeks. We might... even be sooner, because there's stuff that we want to do within this quarantine time. We're going to be together every day for at least the next 3 weeks.
This is going to be make or break.
It is, isn't it? But yeah, so you'll be hearing a lot more from us. Thank you so much for every single person who has listened. I still can't fathom the amount of people that have listened and the amount of people that have listened around the world.
Whoever you are, if you're listening right now, thank you. We love you.
I can't fathom it.
You're actually really, really awesome.
I feel like we will give you a social distance hug.
Yeah.
Through...
A hug around the world.
It's me hugging.
I mean, that sounds like you were just rubbing things.
No, because you're rubbing their
back.
Yes.
Like a huggy rub at the back.
It was hugging.
Yeah. But we want you to stay safe.
Yes.
And stay well.
Respect your prospective governments and stay indoors.
Yeah. Listen to health advice from experts.
Mm-hmm.
Just experts.
Not Facebook.
No. And keep listening.
Yes. We will speak with you soon.
Bye-bye.